Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. But I want to read you first Isaiah 1:19 in the NIV. But Isaiah 1:19, I'll read it to you out of the NIV. It says, "If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land." Did you hear that? He says, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good things of the land. Okay? How many came to receive something today? Okay? Did you come to receive something no matter who was standing here? Did you come to receive something from God, or did you come to receive something from Hank? From God? That's what it's all about. And actually, we've had two messages already. Lori gave one and Greg gave one. But come every week expecting to hear from God. And it doesn't matter who's standing here. You'll get something from God if you come expecting it. Does that make sense? Anyway, he says, if you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. I want to read you now from 1 Kings 17. That's where we were last week. I want to start with verse 8. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, Please, bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, Please, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said to him, As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread. I only have a handful of flour in a bin and a little bit of oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering this couple of sticks up that I may go and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, Don't fear. Go and do as you have said. Go do just what you're talking about doing. But make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterwards make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. Everybody say many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Help me, Holy Spirit. I want you to eat the good things in the land. I believe God made the good things for his kids to enjoy. How many want to start enjoying some of them? The rest of you don't? How many of you want to start? See, that's the part you got to receive, see? How many want some of those good things of the land? Okay, the rest of you that don't want it, just tell God to give you mine. And I'll smile even bigger than I smile now. How about that? I want you to eat the good of the land. I think it grieves God's heart when we're in want and lack. And, you know, I think benevolence is a great thing. And I thank God that I'm able to pastor a benevolent church. We see somebody hurting, we try to help. There was floods in West Virginia, and so we took up an offering and sent it to them. And we've sent money to the hurricanes and just different things. But you know, I think benevolence is great, and you are a giving people. You're a benevolent people, and I praise God for you. But benevolence isn't a way of life. You know, see, there's nothing wrong. What does my heart good is when we help somebody, give somebody a hand up, and maybe we give them a hand up several times, but after a while, that hand up starts making them stand up, and pretty soon the blessings of God are coming on them, and we see multiple stories like that just in this house. In this building. And there's nothing wrong with needing a hand up, but the object is when benevolence really works, is when that hand up begins to raise us up and we're able to give other people hand ups. See, I had to get hand ups when I came here 42 years ago. And many of you also, but I just love it. See, I remember when I was a little boy, I just want to talk today because I think God wants to tell you some good things. Might use a few personal experiences, but I remember when I was a little boy, we lived down by Frog Pond School, down between Racine and Neosho and Seneca and all that area, and we didn't have indoor plumbing, we had a well, and I remember but for me to have a drink, my mother or my dad had to go out to the well and let the bucket down the well and pick it up. And bring it. For me to take a bath, my parents had to go out and get the well and get some water out of the well. And that was great. And I loved that cool well water. But I learned it sure was better when I could go to the well myself. And that's what I want for you. I want to lead you and guide you as your pastor to help you to where you're going to the well to get the water, because when you taste of that living water, you'll never thirst again. And so I want to do everything I can to bring the water, but the object is for you to be able to go to the well yourself. Huh? And so anyway, eat the good of the land. You remember last week we talked about Elijah and we talked about purpose and assignment and placement. And, you know, we talked about the fact that God told Elijah, said, go to Ahab and tell him it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. Go tell him. And you know, we talked a little bit about it, but you know, hey, God had some things in mind. There was a purpose for what he did. It wasn't just to have a pretty story in the Bible, which I love that story. But it was, first he wanted his kids back. He wanted Israel back. He wanted him to follow them instead of Baal. But the second thing was this Baal thing was really bad. It was, Baal was an evil religion. They sacrificed babies. What they believed was that Baal was the god of agriculture, and that it was him instead of Jehovah that caused all the seasons and caused the weather and all that. And so they gave human sacrifices. You know, and God just looked at that and said, you know, that's enough. And we talked about that. I don't have to go into great detail. But he said, Elijah, you go tell them. You go tell them it's not going to rain. And I can just imagine, you know, that all the prophets of Baal for that 3.5 years were probably trying to get it to rain. They were praying for Baal to make it rain. But you know what? Baal's not a real god, and he couldn't make it rain. And we know the story. He told Elijah, he said, you go and tell him what I'm telling you here. You go tell him and then get out of there. He's not going to like what you say. So will you go tell him and you get out of there? And I don't want to go take a long time doing this, but he said, you go to the brook, and the whole point was God had a place prepared with Elijah's supply. He had a place prepared to take care of him. He said, you go do what I told you to do, and then you get out of there, and you go to the brook. I've commanded the ravens to feed you. And so we talked last week about the fact that the ravens were commanded by God. You know, if Elijah hadn't gone, the ravens were still going to take the food to where Elijah was supposed to be. You remember the football illustration. The quarterback's throwing to the receiver, but he's not throwing, he's not watching the receiver. He's throwing the ball where the receiver's supposed to be. If the receiver's where he's supposed to be, he catches the ball, and they're able to make a touchdown. See, God already knows. He's already commanded your blessing. He already knows everything that's going to happen to you. He already knows everything in your life. He knows what the enemy's going to try on you. And He already has a backup plan. He already has it fixed. I mean, isn't it good to serve a God? I'll just tell you something. The fix is in. You win. All you got to do is be willing and obedient. Do what He says to do. Be where He says to be. And everything will be okay. You know, when He made Adam and Eve, He didn't make Adam and Eve and then look down at Adam and Eve and go, oh, well, now they got to have something to eat. I mean, He didn't make them and look down at them and say, well, wow, guys, now we got to come up with some air for them to breathe. No, He already had it all prepared before He created them. And when He created them, He put them right in the garden, right in the middle of what He had prepared for them. And I just say to you today, whatever you need, He already has that place prepared for you. Whatever you're going through, He already has a fix, is already in. He already has that ready for you. You just need to hear Him. You just need to be willing and obedient. See, that's the truth for every one of us. That God has what I need already. I just have to be paying attention. I just have to be listening. I have to be willing to do whatever He tells me to do. The Lord supplies your need before you need it. And I'll just be honest, most of the time, He's not going to bring it to you while you're laying on the couch. He's going to have you moving. All the finances you need have already been supplied for you before you need them. You just need to say, okay, God, help me be in the right place at the right time. And He doesn't respond to us. He anticipates what we need beforehand and takes care of it. See, we don't go to God and go, oh God, would you help me? Would you do this? Would you do that? He says, I already did that. Just listen to me and I'll tell you where to go pick it up at. Is it okay if I talk where you can understand something? I mean, if you want me to, I'll talk in King James. But you won't understand it. And that's the problem. Christians all over the world, we've been listening to the Word for 2,000 years and we don't understand it. I want this Word to be real in your life. I want you to read this story and begin to think, how can this story work in my life? That makes sense? So anyway, He supplies your need before you need it. He doesn't wait and say, oh, angels, Hank's in a jam. Go down there and help him. No, when Jesus said it's finished, it is finished. Okay, so now that's that. But so be in the right place at the right time. But now I want to talk about willing and obedient. In our text here, he says, Elijah, I mean, he's sitting there and the brook goes dry. Most of us, when the brook goes dry, we start going, God, what did I do wrong? God, how did I miss it? God, what in the world? As Greg said, when the curl comes out of our hair. How did I miss it? How come this has happened to me? Hold it. He's already got it covered. He's already got it taken care of. Wipe away the tears. Blow your nose so the snot doesn't run down your face. And get up on your back legs and say, okay, God, show me what to do. Show me where it's at. He said, you go down to Zarephath, there's a widow down there, and I have told her to supply your needs. He had already told her before the brook went dry. Now, but here the plot thickens, because now it isn't, now there's somebody else being drawn into the picture. You see, God had a big plan. I want Israel back. I want to stop this Baal worship. And so he gave Elijah an assignment, and Elijah took the assignment, and he went to do what he said. And now in the course of doing the assignment, there's a whole bunch of little assignments, because God's got it prepared to protect and take care of Elijah all the way. And now it's not just Elijah and the ravens. I mean, when you're sitting there at the creek, at the brook, drinking the cool water, and they're bringing you bread and food and bread and meat every day, that really doesn't involve anybody but you. But now the plot thickens, because now there's somebody else pulled into the equation, the widow and her son. So, now what Elijah does, whether he carries out his assignment, whether he does what he spoke, whether he's willing to do it and obedient to do it, whether he goes to Zarephath or not, now this affects a widow lady and her son. And I want to point out, Elijah doesn't know the whole story. We just think that he had this 1 Kings 17, 18, 19 here to read, and he could see what was going to happen. No, Elijah doesn't have the whole plan. Elijah's just responding to everything God tells him to do, and he's learned to hear God, and when God talks to him, he's learned to respond. Does that make sense? See, I want to put some flesh and blood on this. Because if I can't read one of these stories and discern it and make it apply to my life and figure out how God could do the same thing in my life as he did in Elijah's life, if I can't discern and develop this working relationship with him, then all I've done is entertain my mind. I like that phrase. That's what a lot of Christianity is doing today. We're entertaining our mind. We know all the we know all the formulas. We know all the things. We know it all up here, and we're just hoping that when we do all the things the way it says to do it, that it'll happen. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to believe it in here. And I want you to see, if it's just a story, if it's just a good story, we read the story and we go, whoa, God can do anything. Are you with me? We get so abstract in our thinking that nothing's ever concrete. Whoa, how many ever said, oh, God can do anything? How many know God can do anything? But the question I ask you today is, what's he doing for you? I mean, I've started reading these stories. I go, God, these are good stories, and I don't doubt your power, but how do I get this in my life? How do I discern you and listen and get this operating in my life? So it makes me wonder, what do I do, God, to have this same working relationship with you, Father? What do I do to have this same working relationship that Elijah and this widow lady had? Now listen to me. Elijah didn't have everything laid out. He didn't have everything figured out. And so many times in our walk, we want to have it all figured out. And I'm sorry, if you have it all figured out, you don't need any faith. Elijah didn't have it all figured out. He had to hear God. And then he had to use his faith to believe that that was really God that he heard. Come on, am I talking to anybody? How many ever had God tell you something and then you went, God, was that really you? Huh? Sure you have. He had to use his faith to believe that was really God, and then he had to use his faith to do what he believed that God told him to do. Willing and obedient. See, listen, folks, hearing is a learning process. Hearing God is a learning process, and we learn it all of our life. Is anybody here? Don't turn me off. Man, don't play with your pocketbook or anything. Man, I'm going to tell you something today that can, if you can change your thinking, it'll change your life. It's a learning process. How many ever think you heard God and it wasn't God? Come on, be honest. 100% participation here. Let's go. I want to get done so we can go eat. How many ever heard God tell you something but you didn't do it, and you looked back on it and you went, wow, that was God. If I would have. This happened not very long ago. A lady told me, she said, I looked back, said, I got ahead of God. I did this. I shouldn't have. God said He had it all fixed and I missed it. But my answer to you is, no, you didn't miss it. You just learned something. Are you hearing me? If you don't ever miss it, you don't ever know when you hit it. Huh? If you don't ever fail, you don't ever know what success is. Don't you see? We're in a no-lose situation here if we get our stinking thinking straightened out. You didn't miss God. No. You just had an opportunity to learn Him a little better. Learn from Him a little better. Next time, you'll remember that and you'll hear Him a little bit better. And then the next time, when you look back, go, oh, I missed you, you'll do it again. He never gets tired. He never gives up. He never gets discouraged with us. He just says, hey, come on, take another step. Come on, Hank, come on. Okay. So what about the lady? Elijah's having to use his faith. He's having to believe he heard God. He's having to believe that then he's got to be willing to do, obedient to do what he thinks that God told him to do. And what about the lady? It was evident she didn't understand everything that was going on in her life. I mean, the prophet, he looks at her. Elijah goes to her and he says, give me a drink. And she says, oh, okay, that's no biggie. I got some water here. I'll go get a cup and get you a drink. And so she's on her way to get a drink. And he says, oh, hey, and while you're there, he says, bring me a piece of bread in your hand. Uh-oh. Now she comes unglued. Hold it. I mean, I could give you $10, but you're asking me for the whole 100. Listen. Now you're getting serious, Pastor, a prophet. I can bring you some water, but you're asking for everything I got. What does she say? She says, I'm gathering these sticks because I'm getting ready. I got a little bit of meal in the bin, a little bit of flour in the bin, got a little bit of oil in the jar, and I'm fixing these sticks. I'm picking these sticks up so I can fix a fire and cook a little cake so me and my son can eat it and die. What does Elijah say? What does the prophet say? He says, don't be afraid. Do what I say. You go do what you're going to do, only fix me a cake first, and then fix one for you and your son. He says, don't be afraid. And he goes on and says, hey, the Lord has said, the Lord of Israel has said that your bin will never run out of flour and your jar will never run out of oil till the famine's over. Can you imagine the lady? I can just see her. She's going. I mean, evidently sometime in the past the Lord has spoken to her, because God doesn't lie. He said, I've told the widow to take care of you. And so when he says, you fix me a cake first, she panics. You're serious now. You're wanting everything I got. Hold it, you can't. You know, and then but something must have clicked in there. Something must have, she went, I remember hearing something. I remember, Lord, was that really you telling me that? 6 months ago, before the brook dried up, before he told Elijah to come, Was that really you? And he says, you do this, don't be afraid, don't worry about it. You do this, and God says, you'll never run out of flour, and you'll never run out of oil. And can you see her now? She's going, well, could that be the Lord? I mean, do you see? She had to use her faith to believe that that was really the Lord that she had already heard. And then she had to use her faith to act on what she believed that she had heard. I mean, does that sound like anything we go through? And let me tell you something else that probably happened. Probably what happened is when the Lord spoke to her, she had more flour in the bin and more oil in the jar. I mean, because she, can you see her there? One night she's cooking and she's got a pretty good little amount of flour here. She says, I don't know, this will last a while. And she's got a jar of oil. She says, yeah, this will last me a while. And something inside her, the Lord speaks to her and says, I'm going to send the prophet to you and I need you to take care of him. I need you to supply his needs. And she says, oh, okay, well, it's no biggie. I got a pile of flour in the bin and I got some oil in the bottle. That's no big deal. But when it came time to do it, oh no, my bank account's empty. My flour bin's empty. My jar's almost empty. You understand what I'm saying? God very seldom tells me to do something that's just real easy for me to do. Huh? I mean, he wants to get involved. He wants me to have a working relationship with me. You with him? Are you hearing me? He wants me to have a working relationship. He says, I want you to trust me, Hank. I want you to see that when I tell you to do something, I get in here and work. If I tell you to use a last little bit of flour to make Chris a cake, he says, I just want you to know you're not going to run out of it. You're not going to run out. Because if I tell you to do it, something's going to happen. Probably some of you are sitting there, well, it's time to go eat. Let me just tell you, I remembered this story back. I hadn't been saved very long. Pam and I had just been married a short time, and honestly, we didn't have nothing. We thought we did, but we didn't. We lived in a little three-room house we were renting, and we thought, you know, Denise, you remember those days. We thought we had everything, man, and we didn't have anything. We just had a lot of sugar, so we could live on love, you know, and it was good. And I had this old 64 or 65 Chevy pickup that we had saved. I'd saved up $300 or $400 and bought it. And we had a, remember we had a, in the 70s, we had a big rainstorm and it flooded the school. Anyway, long story short, a guy over in Baxter, Claude Lee, he said, I got a bunch of hay to bale. If you guys will get volunteers and you guys will come haul this hay in for me, I'll give the church the money. Well, so we did. Long story, and that's got a lot of stories in that story. I won't tell them, but I'm in this old truck that I saved up $300 or $400 and bought. And I'm loading it with hay, and I'm telling them, yeah, put another row on. And we're in the hay field, and all of a sudden I feel this old motor in this truck getting weak. And all of a sudden I look in the rearview, and there's smoke's coming out of the tailpipes. And so I'm driving, and I'm trying to get back to the barn, and something inside of me, I think I heard the Lord say, why don't you give me that truck? I said, okay, God, I just give you my truck. I just give this to you. Huh? Not a big deal. I'm driving it, man. I just give this truck to you. See, now I'm thinking, oh, man, he's just going to overhaul that motor while I'm asleep tonight. I'm just giving this truck to you, Lord. You know I'm serving you. You know I bought this truck, and I'm serving you with it and trying to con God into something. You know how we do. Oh, God, give me that house. Give me that new house, and we'll have prayer meetings there. Oh, you're not going to do nothing. He wants you to have the house anyway. Just get the house and enjoy it. Have fun. Give me that new car and I'll just take people to church every Sunday. Sure you will for 3 or 4 Sundays. Quit trying to con him. He wants you to have it anyway. And so anyway, I said, okay, I'm giving you this truck. So I go home. I park the truck in the front yard. And I go in and I tell Pam. I said, Pam, I said, God told me to give that truck away. Or give that truck to him. And she said, well, okay, if that's what he said. But it's good to have a wife that doesn't argue with you about everything. And she just always, if I said, hey, this is what God's telling us to do, I mean, her forehead might wrinkle sometimes, but she's, well, okay, if that's what God told you to do. And so anyway, I give him this truck, and he said, then he starts dealing. He says, now are you, did you really give me that truck? And I said, yeah, Lord, I gave it to you. He said, okay. He said, I want you to give it to so-and-so. And he told me a guy that had just got out of prison, had a family here, and I can't remember his name. If you remember it, tell me. He had tears tattooed on his face. Anyway, so I said, okay, God, I'll give it. I'm telling you what, it wasn't 2 hours. Some guy knocked on my door, and he said, hey, is this old truck out here for sale? And I said, he said, man, he said, I'll give you $1,000 for it. And he had 10 $100 bills in his hand. And I went, I don't really think that was God telling me that. I think I was imagining that I was supposed to give that truck away. I mean, $100 bills, that's just exactly how much another truck, a newer truck I'd been looking at cost. And I went, oh, right, man. And I went, I said, sir, the truck's already sold. Just ripped something out of inside of me. I couldn't hardly get it out of my mouth. It was, and I wasn't even for sure that God told me this. I was believing he did, and so the next day I run into this guy, and I asked the guy, I said, you're a pretty good mechanic, aren't you? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, I said, if old truck needs rings or something, I said, old vehicle, I said, you know how to put rings? They, oh, yeah, I can rebuild a motor, I can do anything. I said, oh, God, now you got me. I said, God's told me to give you my truck. Now just hold that story. Just because the process, that's the same process, only in your own way that we go through every time God speaks to us. I'll tell you the end of the story real quick. The end of the story was, within 2 weeks, I had the truck. I had the truck that I wanted to buy that cost that $10, $100 bills. I had the truck. Oh, but that wasn't the rest of the story. Some folks, some of y'all remember the Wyckoffs. They came to they did our retreat. They lived down the street from us. They lived in the new houses. We lived in the little house. They lived in the new house. They were the rich people to us. Of course, they thought they were poor too. I guess they were just poor on a different level than we were poor on, you know? It doesn't matter if you make $1 million a year. If you don't have nothing, you're poor. I'm sorry. And they had this real pretty Ford station wagon, cream and wood grain on the side. And I just remembered looking at that thing and saying, you know, Lord, I'd like to have one of those cars someday. And I didn't even remember it at the time until I went to look at this truck. And the guy selling me the truck, and he financed it for me and everything. But the guy selling me the truck said, hey, I got this old wagon here. Do you need this wagon? It was identical to the one that Pam and Jim Wyckoff had. And I said, well, yeah, he said, you can have them both for the same price. You're getting the message. Anyway, that wasn't to make a big deal out of anything I did. That was just to get you to start discern and recognize things in your life. See, God had a big plan here. The big plan is that he gets his children Israel back worshiping him again, that he gets rid of Baal. So he has a little assignment. He tells Elijah, you go tell the king this assignment, and then he gives Elijah another assignment so the king won't kill him, and he takes him to a place he's prepared for him, and then he gives him another assignment in the bigger assignment, and the bigger assignment, and the bigger assignment, gives him another assignment and says, hey, says, go to the widow, and now you understand all this working. All the stuff that's happening. Sound like a body fitly joined together to me. But the whole purpose was so Elijah could get back at the end and carry out the big plan. But all the little plans, this was a big plan to the lady, the widow. Are you with me? And see, all God needed to get this whole thing done and put these few chapters in the Bible, all he needed were two people. Two people that would be willing and obedient. Well, I don't know. I'll be one. Anybody else in here be one? I'll be one. In Luke 4, Jesus talks about this widow, and it refers to her as being selected. God chose her. He said the land, there was a whole lot of widows in the land, but God picked her. I don't know, but I'll tell you what I'm doing. I don't know what you're, I'm looking for what was it, God? What was it? What did you see in her? Because I want that in me. What did you see in her? Because I want that working relationship with you. What he saw in her was a willing and obedient heart. Huh? That's what he's talking about when he says, when the Bible says in the Old Testament, the eyes of the Lord are looking to and fro across the earth to find anyone whose hearts are perfect towards him so he can prove himself strong in their behalf. He says, Hank, I'm looking to and fro across the earth. I'm looking for anybody who's after my heart. I'm looking for anybody who has a willing and obedient heart. I'm looking for anybody that I can trust with a mission. Because I want to do some mighty things in that person's life. I don't know about you, but Lord, I pick one. I volunteer to be one. Listen, the lady didn't have much to give, but she had a word from God. I love it. I love it. I don't have time to do all this, but if you'll read in 17, when he told Elijah, said the word of the Lord came to Elijah saying, and then a verse down it says, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. It says on, it said the word of the Lord came to Elijah saying, and then a little bit further it says, so he arose and went. Says about the lady, says Elijah spoke and says she went away and did exactly what the word of Elijah was that the Lord had given to Elijah. She didn't have much to give, but she had a word from God. Let me emphasize that a little bit. Don't you just do something because somebody tells you. God said, you've got a compass inside of you. You've got a Holy Spirit living inside of you. You know, listen, I love prophecies and all the rest of that, but don't you stake your life on a prophecy. You stake your life on what the Spirit of God said to you. If the prophecy confirms that, praise God and thank Him for it. You with me? Somebody come to me and say, the Lord told me that you were supposed to give me your car. Well, thank you, sir. Whenever the Lord tells me that, I'll do it. Huh? I'm trying to keep you out of trouble. I hear a lot of people running around going, oh, did you hear about the prophecy he gave over me? Did you hear? Hold it, man. This book's full of prophecy. You stake your life on this. Everything else needs to complement what the Spirit of God's already told you. I'm going to tell you what. She didn't have her bin filled up and her oil jar filled up. She didn't have them never run dry because she gave everything she had. Listen to me. She had the bin never went dry. Out of flour, the jar never went dry because she did what she did at the word of the Lord. You got the difference? You do what God tells you to do, whether you see a way or not, and He'll take care of the rest. What was the result for her? Huh? What was the result? This stuff kept multiplying and multiplying. Can't you see her? She takes some flour out, Chris, and makes a little cake and some oil and stirs it up and cooks it, and she looks back in the bin and there's still flour there. She takes some more out the next day or the next meal and she looks back and says, well, it's growing. It kept being multiplied. See, the first step was she had to step out in faith and give. Or she had to step out in faith and do what God told her to do. Now listen to what I'm saying. That's the reason I, and those of you that brought money up, hey, thank you. I wasn't meaning to discourage that. Anytime God tells you, hey, you're going to come in with so much one of these days real soon that you just got to get some of it out of your pocket so you'll just come and lay it on the altar. That wasn't the purpose. The purpose was I wanted you to hear this, and I don't want you to hear it thinking somebody's trying to get something from you. I want you to hear it so you can go to the well whenever you need a drink. Can you imagine what the Jerusalem Post said? Prophet takes widow's last meal. Death imminent. Don't go to church down there. That pastor down there told us to give everything we have. Man, don't go down there. He's nuts. Don't you ever do anything because I tell you. You do it because I say something and you recognize it's a word that God gave me because he's already told you something in your heart too. Does that make sense? But listen, that's the way most people look at giving. They look at giving like it's money lost. Well, down the drain. Don't have that anymore. But that's not how God sees it. God sees it as seed. In Genesis 8:22, he says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Seed time and harvest. Listen, when you sow, now I'm talking about finances here, but this is anything you sow. When you sow finances, those things don't leave you. They never leave you. You've sowed them into your future. You've sowed them. Is this making any sense? It isn't something you don't have that anymore. No, I sowed it. And that thing's going to keep growing and keep growing and keep growing and keep multiplying. Here a while back, I caught myself worrying. I listened to the news too much, and I caught myself worrying. And I said, oh, God, you know, what are we going to do? What do I tell the people? And then a little voice came to me and said, it doesn't matter if the whole country goes down the tube. You're not going down the tube because you're in my kingdom. You've sowed to me. Does that make sense? See, whatever you sow keeps growing. Now, if you can change this mentality, it doesn't hurt to give. I heard somebody the other day say, well, just give till it hurts. I'm sorry, I can't give till it hurts because it doesn't hurt. Sometimes I give more than I'm supposed to. But I'd rather give more than I'm supposed to than not enough as I'm supposed to. And many of you, or most of you, are givers. And I want you to get your mind tweaked a little bit here, because I want you to understand what's happening that's in your future. I'm going to do this anyway, and then we'll wrap it down here in a minute. But I dismiss you now. If you need to go, I dismiss you, but we still got 10 minutes. But about in 2007, something inside of me kept wanting a new car. Now, I've been a car dealer for a lot of years, and I've had thousands and thousands of cars, and I bought new cars and all that, but now I'm in the ministry, and I'm here, and I don't have the cash flow that I had. I just said, you know what, God? I said, I've been driving these used cars for years. I said, and that's all right. I'll keep driving them. That's no big deal, but I'd like to have a new one. And then I went down to Branson, and I saw the one. I saw a Nitro, and I went, wow. I told Pam, that's the one. That's what I'm getting. That's the one. And I started thinking about it and thinking about it. And God spoke to my heart. And He said, you want that? And I said, yeah. And he said, how much is that? And I said, well, it's about this much. He says, why don't you tithe on it? Can I fast forward this story? So I tithed on it. I tithed on the amount that car. I said, because I want a car. I don't want any payments, God. And listen, I'm telling you what, some of you are not wanting any payments. And if you'll start listening to God and listen to some of the stuff I say, not all of it, but some of it, and listen to some of the stuff that Greg says and other ones say, in 6 to 8 months, you're going to be getting out of debt too. Okay? But I said, I don't want any payment. He said, well, just tithe on it. So I did. Now, I kept waiting for somebody to bring $30,000 and lay it in my lap. It didn't happen. But after a month or two, I'd like to look in, and something would tell me do this, and something would tell me do that, and I'd do this and do that and do this and do that. And pretty soon I went and bought that car and paid cash for it. I said, "How'd that happen, God?" "Well, I told you what to do." So I thought, "Well, I want one for Pam too." He said, "Well, tithe on it." Now, just because I said this, doesn't mean he's telling you to do that. You understand me? And so I did. You know what? Within a month or two, I was over at the Honda place buying her a little CRV. Or however those are, CVRs or whatever they are. And you know what? I walked out of there with no payment. Now, I hadn't paid much attention to that, but God spoke to me here a week or so back, and he spoke to me, and listen, since I did that, I have had five new, brand new cars with no payments. Now, listen to me. This isn't bragging on Hank, because I still don't know how it all happened. But God spoke to me the other day, and he said, "What happened, Hank?" He said, "You planted that seed. That thing kept growing." Said, "It'll keep growing for the rest of the time you're alive, and anytime it's time for you to have a new car, I'll see to it that you have it." Better listen to this, because you're wanting a new truck. You're going to get it. I remember back in the 80s, I was in Arkansas, and I was in Kroger's, and I don't know about you, but I remember when I used to have to calculate while I was pushing the grocery cart, because I couldn't get more in the grocery cart than I could pay for when I got up to the cash register. And usually I didn't need a calculator, because I could do it in my head. I knew, and I'd come up within 5 or 10 cents when I got to the register of how much I had in the basket, and I knew how much I had in my pocket. And I was pushing my basket through there one day, and I made a deal with God. I said, "God, I am never again going to spend more on groceries than I give you." Now, I wish I could say that I went home and it started working the next week, but it didn't. But that's what I said, and that's what I worked towards. And you know what? I can't ever remember when I still look for bargains. You know, I go in, I still grumble and gripe. "They raised this 20 cents. Look here." You know, you do too. Don't be a little angel. Look at me like a little angel. As you can tell, I haven't missed very many meals. You just get the concept of what I'm talking about. When you sow, you're sowing into your future. That just keeps multiplying and keeps happening and keeps going. Elijah wasn't taking away from the lady. He was giving to her. He knew what God would do. And what happened, what the lady had wasn't enough to meet her need. So instead, I mean, she could eat her seed and die. But instead, she planted her seed, and that seed kept growing. That bin never ran out of flour, and that jar never ran out of oil. And it lasted all the way through the famine. She just kept going to the bin, kept going to the jar. A few years ago, and I'll wrap this up here. A few years back, a lady came to me, and she said, "Hank," she said, I got my check, and I can't remember. She either had a disability check, an assistance check, or a Social Security check. I don't know, but she went, and she said, "Hank," she said, "I got my check. Should have paid all my bills." She said, "All I've got left is this much." And she said, I don't know whether to pay my tithes or buy groceries. This is all I got left for the month." You know what my heart, my flesh wanted to do? I just want to say, "Honey, keep that money. Keep it. You need it." But you know what? My spirit's telling me something different. My spirit said, "If you do that, you rob her from ever realizing what I can do in her life." And so I said, "Well, I don't know, ma'am." I said, "If it was me, I said, I'd pay my tithes. Now let me explain something. She had it backwards. And we often get it backwards in our mind. She got her little bit of flour and her little bit of oil, and she made a cake, hoping there'd be enough left over to fix Elijah a cake. We get our little bitty piles, and we pay this and pay as many bills as we can and do all this. And you know, I used to have a stack, and if you happened to get on the top of that stack, you got paid, you know. But this is our concept, that I take care of all this, and then I give God His. That isn't what He said. I want you to listen to this. He said, give me the first tenth. Give me the first fruit. Why? Just to see if we'd be obedient? No, because we could pull Him into a working relationship with us. God, see, I look at my flour bin and I look at my jar and I just don't know if there's enough flour and oil to last me all month. So I say, well, okay, God, I don't know, but here, I'll make You a cake first. I'll make You a cake first. And then I'll trust You to see what You can work with the rest of this. Yeah, or any of you ladies ever make that dough? You make a little bit of dough and it rises, and you always keep a little pinch of that and put it in some more dough and it just keeps arising. And some of these ladies that I've talked to, they've had this dough rising and going and pressing it on. They've had it for years and years and years. That's what God's trying to tell us. He's trying to tell us. He says in Proverbs, He says, bring the first fruits in and I'll make sure your barns are full and your vats are overflowing. Huh? In Malachi, he says, bring you tithe into the storehouse. You tithe an offering in the storehouse. I'll open up the windows of heaven. We all know that scripture because preachers preach it to us every time they want us to give more. But read the chapters before it. The whole thing was, what God was saying was, they were still bringing an offering to Him, but instead of bringing the spotless cow, they were bringing an old cow in that had old bug eye or knot on its side. I mean, they were bringing the cow and the offering in that they couldn't get much out of. God said, hold it. You're putting Me second place. Said, bring Me the best one. Does that make sense? And He said, you bring Me the best one. You put Me first. I'll give you access to everything I got. Well, I got some more, but I'm out of time. So He says, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Do you understand that we're not just talking about finances here? Do you understand we're talking about our total existence? God, here, I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I didn't have any finances to give Him. I walked in there and I, over on 26, and I said, God, I don't have nothing to give You, but I'll just give You Me. And He said, that's all I want. That's all I want. Do you understand? He says, if you just be willing and obedient. I don't know about you, but how many are ready to maybe be the one that He looks down across and He says, hey, Terry, I can trust you. I know if I give you this assignment, if I tell you to do this, I know you're willing and I know you're obedient, you'll go do it. I'm going to tell this story on you, Billy, but a few months back, God told her to go take a meal to some folks. It was some folks that aren't in the church. And I know some of you in the church, she's done that for you too. But she says I told me to go and take them a meal. And she said, so I did. And I mean, it wasn't like that Terry and Billy had so many groceries that they just needed to get rid of some of them. No, and she did. And so anyway, she went and got the dishes back and had them in her kitchen. And a need was there, and she was talking to God about the need. And she opened up these dishes, and there was $100 bill in these dishes. You'd almost forgot that, didn't you? Didn't? No, because she needed $100. I want you to get what I'm saying. Understand what I'm saying. I'm just telling you how you can eat the good of the land. Is that okay? Everybody stand. Some of you, somebody in here, and I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to do this quick because I've already kept you too long. But somebody in here, something inside of you has been telling you to get right with the Lord. Something inside of you has been telling you, man, if I die, I don't know if I'll go to heaven. Something inside of me, it's just been telling you. Something's been gnawing at you. That's why you're here today, so you can get your heart right with the Lord. If that's you, we're going to sing a song real quick here, and I want you just to step down and come down. If you're here and you don't know for sure you're right, come down and let one of us pray with you. If you're here today and you've never been baptized, we want to baptize you today. If you're here today and you're sick, we want to anoint you with oil over here. And the Bible says the prayer of faith will save the sick. Whatever it is you need, God has it ready for you. But if you don't know you're saved today, I don't want you to leave here without knowing. So go ahead and sing a song, a chorus or something. If you need to come, come. You don't know that you're right. Maybe everybody in your family thinks you are, but something inside of you, you don't know. If you need to come, come. In fact, if you don't know if you're saved, just right where you are, why don't you just say, Jesus, come into my heart. I give you my life. Thank you for saving me right now.
Oh, yes, you're willing to your way. Yes,
come on, who else coming?
Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. The Spirit speaks to me. With my whole heart I'll agree. My answer will be yes, Lord, yes.
If you need to come, you come on. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss us. But if you're here and you don't know for sure you're saved, come down here. Maybe you've been saved, but you just haven't lived like you know you're supposed to, and you just want to start fresh today. You come down. Let us pray with you. And the rest of you, how many of you want to start eating the good of the land? Did any seeds get planted in you today that can grow? Listen, if I wrinkled your forehead up, don't worry about it. Just keep coming. We'll come around the mountain again. God will touch your heart. He'll speak to you. Okay? I speak His blessings into you right now. I believe for Him to give you a revelation of Him like you've never had before. I believe Him to pull you closer to Him than you've ever been before. And I believe He's going to let you drink out of that well, that river of living water. You'll never thirst again. How many love the Lord? Tell Him, say, I love you, Lord. I love you. Thank you for putting up with me. I'll see you next time.